Let's do that again.
Oh.
See, your program at MSI from August of 78.
August of 76 to April of 78.
Oh, okay.
Duplication procedures for software products. Supervised one to two other programmers. Yes, I remember the machines were flaky and I had to write a diagnostic.
A diagnostic.
And I didn't think it got published, but I found the instructions for running it in one of those manuals called Shakedown. Yeah, I used to send incredible numbers of memory boards back to be serviced. Because I think I was one of the first people to put 64K, that's 16 4K memory boards, in one of these machines. Because it made editing nicer. Yeah, it was a larger area, you could, more of your file was in RAM, you didn't have to wait for it to go to disk as you moved around.
Yeah.
It really made a difference.
It made a difference than the S-Tools would like that.
Yes. Oh, you asked earlier what I did. It says I implemented an ISAM, an index sequential access method, which I remember doing. It was something Seymour thought would be useful because he had a background in business programming. I don't know if it got published or got to the customers in any way or not. I think it's right before I left, for one thing. The video text editor, numerous utilities, wrote user manuals for Windows operating system and commercial BASIC. Ah, yeah, there was a guy they were already in touch with, Gordon Eubanks, who now I believe is CEO at...
Symantec.
Symantec, yeah. Yeah, he was in the Navy and had written the BASIC interpreter. He'd been to the Naval Postgraduate School, I believe, where Gary Kilbaugh was. Gary, I think that contract was already underway when I got there, but I tested for him.
What was Gary Kilbaugh like? He was a college professor, right? He'd been
at the Naval Postgraduate School.
Right, right.
In Monterey. And so it's not entirely clear to me how much of this stuff was really done by students and how much in the way of thesis products he ended up publishing. But he had a little stuff. He had a little lab. I remember going down early on to work with him on something about getting it to boot, getting it to work with him, the inside machine, maybe getting the right BIOS into the first one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. So was he still working?
And then I went down later.
Was he wasn't still at the postgraduate school, or had he started digital research by that point?
I think he had both going.
He had both going.
Yeah, and I guess he moved to full-time digital research later. But I...
So you had...
Yeah, it was under the digital sold under the digital research name.
So you had heard about it and convinced MSI to use it, to use... CPU.
Somebody... The information was already in MSI. Somebody passed it to me as the appropriate thing to consider.
Right, and you said,
yeah.
Look.
I mean, it wasn't something I knew in the community. There were just several descriptions of things that were supposed to be operating systems written for the 8080, and that one looked far and away best. It looked closest to a real system.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm somebody who used a real-time sharing system on a deck machine before. Most people hadn't. You know, most people came up from being hardware hackers.
Right, right.
And such concepts as having files by name were foreign to some of them until they'd seen CPM. Whereas this just sort of, you know, looked to me like what we had in our Teletech in our offices at PBN.
Right, right.
You know, if you came from the IBM world, then you didn't know about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you happened to use one of the really, really rare time-sharing systems. I'm still not sure if you knew... How their file schemes worked, but you know, it was all card images and stuff.
So there we say you did the floppy operating system. So when you were writing the floppy operating system, you had to write that as an extension on CPM, and so they didn't have one yet, or did Gary have? Gary have a floppy operator?
Yeah, he had somebody's floppies.
Somebody's
floppies. Yeah, it was written to run in 243K or whatever they are, floppies.
But you wrote a new one for the
rewrote it and edited. Well, you had to have the hardware primitives in your basic input-output system, your BIOS.
Right.
You know, the right code to read a given sector. And the system was designed in the assumption there were so many tracks and so many sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And each sector was 128 bytes on the disk. That was hardwired into it. But what instructions you executed to read one or write one were not hardwired into the system. They were in this little section called the BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, you know, which had a entry, a vector of jumps at the beginning to get to the various functions, and that would contain code specific to the system you were running on. So I believe I had to provide that. Let's keep running through dates. Software offered June 1978 to December 1979, wrote and documented three successful Mercury computer products. SuperSort, a sort merge package, WordMaster, a full-screen text editor, and the first versions of WordStar, a word processor with full-screen editing and on-screen formatting and pagination. These programs were sold by Markiplier International Corporation on a royalty basis. They were written in assembly language for and on 8-bit CPM-based personal computers. Then I have computer programmer, MicroPro International, January 79 through November 80. Maintained an enhanced WordStar through version 2.13, created mail merge add-on product. 80 through 83, semi-retirement, mostly loafing, occasional miscellaneous consulting. I left the house renovation step out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is when I was back at MicroPro.
So you went back to MicroPro?
Software scientist. Yeah, nothing ever came of that.
And MicroPro.
This is also after I just moved to San Francisco because it says 219, which is the downstairs apartment. Now I live in 221, the upstairs apartment.
Oh, really? That's, wow, just a slight shift since that point.
Well, there was a tenant in it. You know, and they were in the process of funding their own place, but they had tenants' rights, and I let them stay. Oh, and I stayed downstairs and painted them when I wasn't living in. I think, and when I got it all painted up nicely, I moved in.
Did you have any working computers there in San Francisco?
This one. Or one of these, and then a PC and various clones over the years.
So you did not separate from technology, you just...
No. Oh, I'm remembering something else. That isn't my video either board. Mine was apparently bad. And that's why it's gone back to white on a black screen.
Otherwise it would be the opposite.
Black on a white screen?
I modified mine so the background was white and the text was black. It's got a spare inverter somewhere and ran some blue wires around on the back of the board.
It's easier for us to video this.
Yeah. There were two more of those boards in those boxes of stuff.
Okay.
Both of them bad, apparently, except that one of them has the Space Invaders ROMs.
Space Invaders ROMs, right. So this was playing Space Invaders on CPM.
Yeah. None of those boxes are labeled, incidentally. If you want to keep track of what they are, label them. You know, Rob Barnaby stuff.
I'll probably put them in their own tub. So.
Yeah.
Tubification.
Okay. Tub it and then label it.
Keep it safe.
Yep. That's why I left them open so you can see what's in them.
So do you have any relatives use WordStar until I talk to you about it at Thanksgiving dinner and stuff?
My brother never really got into it.
He didn't, huh? And he was a nerd too, huh? He was a programmer.
What did they do with it? Yeah, they eventually went to PCs.
Huh.
You know, from the... They had the clips and the PCs. Now, I remember at one point, you know, the book...
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Kidder's book, Soul of the New Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just read number 5 of that. I remember a period several years later. You could say, see that machine? See this compact in the desk?
Yeah.
That one runs 5 times as fast. Mm-hmm. The compact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was when they had a lunchbox. I can ask him if he wants to.
There's one right over there.
A lunchbox compact?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lunchbox.
It's right there, sitting upright.
That? No. The next one, the one with the 386 in it, was smaller.
Oh, no.
It was the size of a lunchbox. It had a plasma screen on the front.
Oh, right.
He says he has that in the attic. Possibly he wants to ship it. If he has no use for it.
The CTO of Compaq, the former CTO, is sending a bunch of stuff.
CTO? Is that a chief technical officer?
Chief technical officer.
That's a new word to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there are probably a bunch of them around.
Well, you were the CTO of this, of MicroPro, really. I mean,
well, I was the one that did most of it.
They came to ask you whether or not to use CPM. So MicroPro,
we had a permit to reprint this, but we don't.
MicroPro didn't last after Rubenstein left.
I found when I was browsing the web the day I found you.
Yeah.
I found a quote from somebody where Rubenstein says yielding to his venture capitalist was the worst decision he ever made.
He was not happy about getting venture capital.
Yeah, he let some marketing people direct, which apparently didn't take the software in the direction that really sold. That and the brains behind WordStar 2000 died.
Mm-hmm. So MicroPro didn't last much longer than.
The venture capitalist sold out at some point.
Oh, they sold it to somewhere. 1984, you were there, back there.
Yeah, that you can probably find on the web somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's cool that somebody wrote your Wikipedia entry.
Do I have a Wikipedia entry?
Don't you?
I don't remember looking at it. Maybe I do.
I think you do. Somebody put it in.
I should probably copy this file.
You probably should.
You know, I don't have any media to copy it on. I can read it home anymore. I probably have a printout of that resume.
We can resume. If you scroll it, we can record it on video.
And you can email it to me, and I'll have to refrain from downloading it and tell him in San Francisco.
You can email the pictures of the screen. I took some pictures of it as you were going through it, and they should come out pretty clearly.
Yeah, you can get it again anytime you want. I'll leave the disk in there.
Well, if you leave the disk, won't it reformat itself?
No, I'll leave the disk in there.
Oh, in there, okay. In here. So where are we? What, Alan? Where are we?
What? 5 minutes left on this tape. So.
Okay, let's do 5 more minutes of you and WordStar. What would you think we should look at or talk about or?
First, I want to put a disk in that doesn't have my.
See how big it is. I'm kind of curious how.
Okay.
He's ejecting a disk now. I gotta catch all
of
this.
Ejecting the disk, and I'm gonna put a
different one.
Let's see. I'll use this one if it turns out that WordStar.
Rob Barnaby.
It's funny every. The LEDs are working on this keyboard.
Yes, it did. Oh, wait, let me do a control C just to. Oh, there are 3 LEDs and they're all glowing dimly. Yeah, one of them shows shift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shift lock.
Gotcha.
Shift and shift lock are different.
Got it.
Because shift lock is caps only.
Yeah.
I think that was my change.
Shift lock is caps only?
On this keyboard. Well, this isn't. This keyboard is an inside design, and it has an 8048 microprocessor in it, which is an all-in-one chip, and I reprogrammed it.
Gotcha.
I changed the program in ROM. So one thing it has is accelerating auto-repeat. Listen to the clicks.
Alan.
It goes faster and faster. I don't really think that was terribly useful, but... But when I first found one, you know, where it waits half a second and then it takes off fast. Mm-hmm. If you want to get 2 or 3, it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Okay.
Well, you're mentioned in Seymour Rubenstein's Wikipedia entry.
Okay. So you're going to start WordStar again here? Or?
We're going to find out how big the... No, first we're going to fill in a piece of information that somebody might need.
Okay.
Suppose you want to read a single density disk in this machine. You type this command, stat. You're familiar with stat from CPM, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just plain stat gives you the space on a disk. Stat B colon gives you the space on the B drive.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go stat, specifically in MDOS, in this version, stat B colon equals single. That will set the B drive to single density.
Gotcha.
If you
go stat, B colon equals double, it changes it back to double.
We wanted to know, let's see, if we can go stat file name, can't we, find out how big it is?
Yeah, here it is.
Yep, 14K.
What, the program itself?
14K. Well, then there's an overlay file that's different.
Just wondering, what's this?
Start. No, crashed. Volume name. Let's see, you can't do up arrow under volume back in this, can you?
That's the overlay?
I'm trying to get the file sizes and it's crashing. The first thing it puts the is the volume name, and it gets to the volume name, and then this says the machine crashed.
Oh.
It transferred to a random location that had an FF in it.
Oh.
And went back to the system. I don't know if you can read that, but it's adventure.
Adventure listen. Interrupt.
Yeah, and then interrupt.
In Europe. The disk is continually spinning?
Yeah, but it lifts the head, but it doesn't stop spinning.
Yeah, that's an interesting. For performance.
WS.com worked.
Yeah, it did.
We worked on string help?
Yes. Where are you getting string comp? You looking at my resume?
Well, there's codersatwork.com. I have you listed there.
Are you looking at the internet on that?
Yeah.
Is that plausible?
Yeah, that's really.
It's an cool. iPhone.
See?
Yeah, it runs off the end. It doesn't reformat. Isn't it really hard to read?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Let's not try to go both directions at once.
That would help.
Especially in your last. It looks like it has enough resolution to be approach being plausible.
That's really useful.
No, but I'm trying to do something specific here.
You're going to see how big it was, the overlay, right?
Yeah, I need the file name because it'll give me the size of the specific file. But when I used a wildcard to get it rather than typing the whole name, it crashed.
And the good old CPM A colon prompt, or the A prompt.
Somebody did her ly1.ovr.
And so these overlays brought in the different functionality of WordStar.
Yes, 28K.
Yeah, so the overlay is 28K and the program is 14K.
Yeah, because it said the thing will run in 24K.
Oh.
With the DOS and your file. Oh. Not much of your file. The first one, 1.0, would run in 16K.
16K.
This machine is most of 64K. I think some of it's taken up by memory mapped I.O.
Huh?
I mean, the disk drive interface has a ROM in it and it may take up 4K or something. I've forgotten. Okay. Next goal.
Next goal. Anything else on WordStar or CPM or your experiences? Or
something especially that we haven't talked about that maybe we can show on the video. Be useful. Did you work on any of the documentation that we can?
I can find you some of those boxes.
Yeah.
I don't know where he put the boxes, and he's gone off to answer his phone.
Okay.
If you want to do that, I'd suggest stopping the tape and saving.
I did. I did stop.
Oh, okay. Do you? Or maybe you have more tapes.
I do. It's just that it's more of a pain to. We're almost done. We can finish it in 2 minutes. But then that would be helpful.
We're not necessarily almost done.
That's true.
You mentioned documentation in general.
Okay. I'll just pull it out what you think.
Well, this is inside documentation.
Okay.
This stuff, I believe, is.
Okay, this was the main documenting book for inside. This was the.
The main documenting would be stack of manuals.
I see. What did you actually use a lot of? What manuals did you actually use?
This was the one for the DOS.
Okay.
This whole manual says it's the NDOS user manual. Let's see. Up to there, it's the DOS. Oh, here's the Ed user's guide. The editor, that's something you use. Here's the assembler. There it is. How to assemble a program.
Very cool. Did you write the doc for WordStar?
Yeah, for a few versions. But that's what we need to dig out of the other box. Okay. It isn't sitting next to this.
Right.
DDT, debugger. NDOS programming guide. Okay, so here are the system calls. This is stuff you'd use if you're programming for it. System alteration guide. Tell you how to BIOS program description, boot program description, volume control block. Oh, system. That's how to adjust it for different size memories, because the CPM runs at the highest memory addresses. Hmm. So your program can always start at 100. Hmm. Below 100 has various things used by the hardware and then by the software at dedicated locations. Yeah. Like if you want to enter the operating system, you call location 5.
Gotcha.
And location 5 has a jump to wherever the system really is on this machine.
Yeah.
So that your application program doesn't have to be specific to how much memory there is in the machine.
Gotcha.
So there's a thing called SysMove that relocates it. Oh, this is one of Gordon Eubanks' basic e-compiler.
Gordon Eubanks. Yeah, this is part of the homebrew system.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's that it was compiled. His name isn't in here, and he wrote it and sold it to inside.
Wow. This machine, did it, what did it sell for?
Came out.
Look in the boxes. I think we can find the slips up here. We can find what it paid for something quite similar.
Yeah.
Are we off camera?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so we wandered to the boxes.
Let's see if they were, let's see if we can put them up in there.
Okay, now before going away, I'm going to eject the disk.
Okay.
So that if there's a power fit here, the thing isn't shut down to the disk.
Oh, good.